ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Amen. Trust the Lord will bless that word to our heart. All right, we're back in chapter 21, dealing with our chapter on worship. And we are continuing with the questions concerning the Lord's Prayer. And we are up to question 193, which deals with the fourth petition. That's on page 570 of your material. Just a little bit of review. Again, I know I do this every week. May get old, but I want to set it because of what I'm trying to do with our consideration relative to the Lord's Prayer. And that is, even as we've just read, to deal with things that impact our life. And as I've said, the Lord's Prayer is in one way, not the only way. It's a pattern for prayer. It is a prayer. But it's also a lesson teaching us of a way of life. Of a way of life. The Christian way of life. Right? And we've seen this in what we've considered thus far. We are tying it in kind of with the question from the Shorter Catechism. What do the Scriptures principally teach? And the answer, the Scriptures principally teach what we are to believe concerning God. So we learn from the Lord's Prayer what we're to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of us. So we also then correspondingly consider, all right, knowing this about God, what's our duty? What's our response? How do we deal with, how do we treat what we learned? And we've considered the preface, Our Father which art in heaven. And the preface teaches us of God's, what? Makes us consider God's love. Good, thank you. God's love. How is it that we can come and call God our Father? Being born to another father, born in sin, our father is the devil, Christ himself applied that term to sinners. All right? So how then can we come and call God our Father? No way other than for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that we, through Christ, forgiveness of our sins because of his atoning work, being brought into then God's family, adopted into God's family, we can come to God as our Father. So what we learn about God is his love, his provision for our salvation, his act of adopting us, all those things. When you pray our Father, that's part of what allows you, what makes up that ability. And you learn that from Scripture. You learn of God's love and our corresponding duty then to love God and to love one another. Because God has so loved us. First petition, hallowed be thy name. We tie to the third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. We learn here that we are to make a right use of the ways that God has made himself known to us. It's not just his name. It's not just using the name of the Lord in vain in our conversation or in our thoughts. It's how we use and deal with anything whereby God reveals himself, which in many ways is everything. But the one thing then that we focused on in part, particularly, is ourselves. Because it is through us that God makes himself, us as believers, that God makes himself known to the world. The light, the salt, the preaching of the gospel, the sharing of the gospel one-on-one, the work of the church, all those things. So, the first petition, hallowed be thy name, the holiness of God, our reverence, and in turn, our duty to be holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy, as we're commanded to do. So as we pray this, we're praying, as well as God hallowing his name, that he would make us holy and help us to hallow his name in front of others, in front of those that we come in contact with. Second petition, thy kingdom come. We obviously consider that God has a kingdom. That kingdom's in a battle with another kingdom, kingdom of the devil, right? So the advancement of God's kingdom and our duties and responsibilities, again, as believers, because non-believers aren't part of his kingdom, they wouldn't even pray that. But our duty then to do the work of the kingdom. Right? Seek ye first. Our memory passage last time. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let God deal with the other things. Do the work of the kingdom. Sharing the gospel, the work of the church, personal sanctification. All right, those were the three things particularly related to us individually. The work of the kingdom. The third petition, thy will be done, deals with, and in part, thy will be done is a outworking or is part of the petition before it. All right, thy kingdom come is part of God's will. Thy will be done, we considered God's decrees. And we've considered with that, because God has decreed, foreordained, all things that are to come to pass. Being careful, as we considered back when we considered the decrees, that we do not in any way attribute sin to God's decreeing it. All right? But God works his purpose in his decrees, and how does God execute his decrees? In the works of creation and providence. All right? Creation and providence. Creation, we've seen, and we see that. Marvelous. Even still today, in what we see in God's creation. But in his providence. All right? In his care, in his oversight of all that he has created. And in connection with his providence and his decrees, our duty is to know God's will to the extent he has revealed it. There is that part of God's will that is not revealed, that is known only to him. But what he's made known to us in his word, we are accountable to know and to abide by it. And even what we don't know. So we are to know to the extent we can God's will, but we are to accept and be content with God's will, both known and unknown, when those things come into our life that we have no idea why. I mean, Job, perfect example. But you and I, you've had things. Lord, why? Why today? Why this? You know where I am. I don't have the money to fix this car. So why did it break down? And why did it break down when I was on my way to work? Now I can't work. I mean, you've had experiences. You can relate. And we wonder. God, in His providence, we pray, Thy will be done. We're praying that God will help us to understand and accept those things. Understand that God always does what's good and right for us, His children. And to be content. To consider, were we not doing what we should have known to be His will? And are we suffering His displeasure because of it and what's happening? So there's always some heart searching, but we have to be careful because Job did that. And, to his credit, he said, I know. I've done my heart searching. And before God, I believe I'm justified. I don't know what there is. And God's not doing this because of my sin. I don't know why He's doing it. But He's God. He's blessed me. And I was thankful and I praised Him for it. If He takes it away from me, He gave it to me. If He takes it all away from me, am I justified in not trusting God? And when you stop and think about it, you say, yeah, no, you're not. So, we have that petition, Thy will be done. The right heart and attitude in submitting to His will. We come to the fourth petition, which is there on page 570, question 193, give us this day our daily bread. Before we read through the answer there and consider the proof text, just a couple of things. Again, Thy will be done includes His provision for us. So I would suggest to you that this is somewhat of a subset, of a part of the previous petition that we just prayed. Thy will be done. It is God's will to provide for His children. But now, Christ, in teaching His disciples, said, you need to pray this. So we are focusing in on a part of God's will. Now why? Why? Are we being repetitious here? Is Christ duplicating? Well, in some ways, yes. But there's a reason, obviously. So we need to consider what that reason is. And I would suggest to you that in praying this, we are brought to acknowledge the source of all our provision. We are made daily to think about the fact that if God doesn't provide for me this day, give me this day, give us this day our daily bread. If God doesn't provide it, you aren't receiving it with His blessing. You might still have bread, but it doesn't come with God's blessing. It comes with His provision. It comes with His mercy. But If you sit down, it's like sitting down at the table and consuming a meal and never thanking the Lord for it. Never acknowledging that it's God that gave it to you. You're eating something that God has provided. No matter how it came to you, whether you bought it at a restaurant, whether you're sitting down at your kitchen table, wherever it came from, God made it possible. You eat it and you get up and you go and you never say a word. You know? You think God's pleased with that? We ask His blessing upon the food to the that it will accomplish the end for which He intended it? To give us strength? To give us help? To do what? The work of the kingdom. That's what we're here for. So giving us our daily bread, acknowledging the source of everything, and acknowledging the source of everything that goes into it. Getting up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord, for health and strength in mind. For a car to get me to work. For a job to provide money so I can provide for my family. That's all in this petition. Because without those things, where are you? Your heart stops. Gone. And the only reason your heart beats, every time it beats, is the provision of God. The only time you take every time you take a breath, it's God's provision. Right? It's humbling. But at the same time, it's rewarding to be able to come to your Father who controls all that. Say, no, Father, today, provide what I need to do what I need to do. And that's what's involved here. And as we look at it and consider where we are and how it came to pass, I trust that'll come out. Our total dependence on God every moment of every day. Right? Because, again, if your lungs don't breathe, if your heart stops, you're going to be in the hospital at the best. Right? And every however many times your heart beats in a minute, God's provision. God's provision. Our daily bread, don't confine it to food on the table. We're dealing with God's provision in everything. And the contentment with that. 10th commandment. We're not to covet. The reason we covet is because we're not content with God's provision. Okay? Long and short of it. We want more. We want something somebody else has for whatever reason. We're not content. In praying that God would give us our daily bread, there must be an acknowledgement on our part and a willingness to be content with the portion He gives us. You know? You grow up in a big family. Sometimes, if you're the last one to get served, the portion you get may not be quite as much as you would have liked, especially if it's dessert. At least when I was growing up, that was always the case. Sometimes the other two. But at the same time, I was glad that I had some. And you learn to be content. And that's part of what's in this petition when you pray it. Always remember, each of these petitions, don't lose the preface. as you pray each and Father, we started with our Father. Hallowed be thy name, and sometimes we kind of have a disconnect there. But it's and Father, today may your kingdom come, and Father, today may your will be done on earth as it's being done in heaven. We talked about the attitude and the willingness. And Father, you know what I have need of today. You know far better than I know. I know some things. But you know what I'm fixing to run into 3 hours from now or something. So, Father, provide what I need for me today. So we're dealing with the Father who takes and wraps and delivers all of these blessings to us through Christ in His love. Because that's why you're getting them. Right? Never lose sight of that. All your provision is because Christ has died for you and has earned these provisions for you. And so they come to you, not only in God's love, but with God's wisdom and power. His arm is not short to be able to deliver everything you need. Right? And His wisdom is in no way flawed to deliver to you something that is not for your good. If you've got your material, you can look on page 570, and let's just read down through Larger Catechism question 193. And I'll make a couple of comments as we go through, and then we'll look at some of the proof texts. What do we pray for in the fourth petition? In the fourth petition, which is, give us this day our daily bread, our acknowledgement that we have needs that we cannot meet. If we meet them, why are we asking God for them? Right? Makes sense. We're asking because we know we can't meet it. Give us this day our daily bread, acknowledging that in Adam and by our own sin, we have forfeited our right to all the outward blessings of this life. Outward blessings of this life is what we're dealing with in this petition. We have forfeited. We forfeited what, and this takes us back to creation, doesn't it? How did we forfeit? What did we forfeit? When God created the world and He created Adam and Eve, everything was perfect. Adam didn't have to worry about weeds and briars. He didn't have to worry about if the tree was going to bring forth the fruit that it was intended to bring forth. There were no insects. There were no frost that killed off the blooms. There was no lack of rain. All these things, and you can go on. None of that. None of that. Adam and Eve had everything in that wonderful garden that God put them in. Everything they need that worked perfectly to provide for them. Everything. And when Adam sinned, of course we know the day that you eat of that fruit, you will surely die. And in some ways, while physical death didn't come, spiritual death did. And so did the curse on that wonderful creation. And now, you'll work. You'll sweat. It may give you its fruit and it may not. You're going to have to deal with the thorns and the weeds and the insects. I may destroy the whole crop with a locust. It may come a hailstorm and just ruin it. when it comes time to reap, it may rain for 2 weeks solid and your crop lays in the field moldy. No promise. It's what man, not only spiritually, but physically. When Adam sinned, he said, I don't need God's provision for me. I don't have to follow what God wants. Yeah. Obviously, the spiritual side of it being the greater. But him rejecting what God had provided, forfeiting that, and deserve to be wholly deprived of them by God. God had no obligation. When Adam sinned, God had no obligation to do one more thing for him. None. We talk about common grace, right? God has no obligation to send rain on an ungodly farmer's fields. None. Always amazes me when I think about when the children of Israel were in Egypt and where they lived and none of the plagues, their little territory was preserved. In scattered thunderstorms, we hear that term around here a lot, scattered thunderstorms. And you stand and see it raining across the street just about and never have the first drop fall on you. Growing up, I used to do that. Oh, it's going to rain. The garden needs it. And I see it. And it stops. It never gets to me. Then there have been times it rained where I was and dry as a bone across the street. So, God's provision. No obligation on God to provide. And when He does, no obligation to provide in the same way that He provided in the garden. Didn't have to be perfect. It's just mercy that He provides anything. And to have them cursed to us in the use of them. That is those outward blessings. Now some of those blessings. Wealth. We look around us and see what wealth does to a lot of people. Their wealth is something God's given. They didn't deserve it. The ungodly. Sometimes the godly. How it corrupts power, position, blessings. And yet, we make a mess of it. Cursed. Cursed to us in the use of them. And that neither they, that's us, of themselves are able to sustain, they, the blessings, and that neither those blessings of themselves are able to sustain us, nor we to merit or by our own industry to procure them. We don't deserve them of our own abilities and merit. Can't get them. Give us this day our daily bread. Just how dependent. And I would suggest to you, that's why Christ taught His disciples to pray it. Just to remind us. Without me, we say the verse, we know it. Without me, you can do nothing. Literally, how true that is. Without Him, we're toast. We can do nothing. And in addition, but prone to desire to get and to use them unlawfully. So even we as believers, how often that can come into play. With that in mind, then, the answer goes on, we pray for ourselves and others that both they and we, waiting upon the providence, there's last week's, the providence of God from day to day in the use of lawful means, may, of His free gift. Don't just skip over those words. Everything is His free gift. And as to His fatherly wisdom, so there we back to our preface. Our Father, as to His fatherly wisdom, shall seem best. Enjoy a competent portion of them, and have the same continued and blessed unto us in our holy and comfortable use of them, and contentment in them, and be kept from all things that are contrary to our temporal support and comfort. The providence of God from day to day. I couldn't help but think of the children of Israel going through the wilderness with the manna. You get what you need for today. That's all. And we know what happened when some of the children of Israel, prone to do what we just read about, and boy, it was a mess, wasn't it? And brought God's displeasure upon them, God's judgment. Well, it can do the same. It can do the same. We have to be careful with it. Satisfied with God's provision, there's the 10th commandment again, not to covet. All right, let's look at some of the proof texts here quickly. I want to try to finish a petition each Lord's Day if we can, and you can certainly read the proof text yourself. That's why they're there. Well, I've got the materials, so feel free and do if you want to consider it. But let's just go down through. We see there in number 2, Genesis 3:17, cursed is the ground for thy sake in sorrow. That word sorrow, it means worrisomeness and pain. Doesn't mean sadness. It's probably sadness too. You're out, you ever hoeing a garden in the heat of the day, there's a little bit of sadness there too. But worries, when I plant the seed, is it going to come up? Am I going to get the rain that I need? I wonder if the bugs will get in it and kill the plant before I get the fruit. You know, is the customer going to be happy with the job I did? Am I going to do everything I need to do? That worry. That's self. Okay? That's self. Some of it's natural. Right? Being concerned about doing a good job, nothing wrong with that. But when it starts affecting and you start relying upon the arm of the flesh, you're in for trouble. That's when you get on your knees and say, Lord, I'm worried. Help me. Calm my heart. Calm my heart. Help me to trust. Okay? Coming on down to Jeremiah, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. There it is. Deuteronomy 28, read through that passage if you get time, those verses. It's just one after another of what God does because of sin. Things that are forfeited because of sin. All right? And we won't take time to do it, but it commerce is in there, health is in there, weather's in there, farming, national issues are in that chapter. You're in bondage. The blessings of peace to your land taken because of sin. Right? We certainly can relate to some of that at this point with some of the things we are dealing with in our land. Deuteronomy 8, taken away, he humbled thee, suffered thee to hunger. And then the phrase that Christ himself quoted, that he might make thee know what man, that man doth not live by bread alone. And again, It's not just about food. It's about spiritual. It's about the entirety of man. We live by the Word of God. That is what we feed upon. Right? And if we don't, we're going to be malnourished. We're going to starve. And God's not going to force feed it. Now, He may send somebody to talk to you, trying to force feed it some. But if we turn away from it, don't be surprised with the result. Genesis 32, no merit, I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies. You know, we talk about God's mercies being new every day. God's mercies being new every day are very much a part of this petition. Because it's God's mercy that provides for your daily needs. Sometimes notwithstanding our indifference, sometimes our sin, sometimes our lack of thankfulness, whatever it may be. It's of God's mercies. God's mercies are new every day because we need His provision every day. Isn't it wonderful? Wonderful to think of what our Heavenly Father does for us sometimes when we don't even ask. And a lot of times when we don't even go back and say thank you for just getting me through the day. At the end of the day, you look back and use this. Use this as something to help you at the end of the day or to do at the end of the day. To look back and see God's provision. God's protection. You know, the accident that took place 3 seconds before you got to the intersection because you got a red light that you were just terribly frustrated with. And you get to the next intersection, and here's a fatal accident, maybe. God's provision. A lot of times we don't know all that God's doing to provide for us. We have no merit there, number 4. Number 5, we have no power. For it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. Okay? And again, it's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Top of page 571, Jeremiah 6:13. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. We want more. We want something different. We want what somebody else has. Natural inclination of the heart. Same thing in Mark 7 there. Out of the heart of men, and you've got thefts, covetousness, you got other things listed there, but foolishness, those are the things that tie us especially with what we're dealing with. Number 7, we cheat. He's a merchant. The balances of deceit are in his hand. Okay? He's cheating his customers. Cheating his customers. We cheat. We lose perspective. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. Not to honor God. Not to do the work of the kingdom, but Lord, I just want to be rich. You know, nothing wrong with being rich. It's not a sin. But when we're asking God to give us stuff just to make us rich, that is. Lose perspective. Remember our word for our first commandment? No other gods before me. The word we used, our focus. Keeping our focus on God and who we are and what we are in reference to Him. Our focus. Number 9, Jacob. Sending his sons back to get corn. If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment. That's Jacob along the way. Genesis 43 is where they were going back to appear before Joseph and taking Benjamin. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man being Joseph. Right? Recognizing that if God didn't do it, again, sometimes we say these things so routinely, so rotely. Think about them. Ephesians there, we're not to steal, obviously, and the person who was stealing, let him labor. And not only labor so that he's got his own stuff, but labor so he can turn around and give it away. Right? The petition, when we ask God to provide our daily need, obviously it does not give us license to not work. If he's given us health and strength and a good mind and so forth in order to work and earn, that's how he's providing our daily needs. We can't assume upon him or presume upon him. And you can go on down. 2 Thessalonians, that was when the people were looking for the second coming, so they stopped working. Yay, the Lord's coming back, we don't have to work. And then the Lord didn't come back, and now they were coming to their brethren. Well, give us to eat. Yeah, you know, we need something. We'll go to work. You quit your job, go back to work. You want to eat? You know, wrong theology, and wrong theology can get us in trouble a lot of times. All right, well, my time's gone. We might finish up a few of these, a couple of them, next Lord's Day. If not, we will definitely get on into the fifth petition. But again, give us this day our daily bread, the provision, God's providence again, but our obligation to acknowledge and understand what God is doing for us day in and day out, and our need for him to do that. All right. Any questions, anything? I don't know that I can answer it today, but if you got some, let me know, and I'll try to answer them next Lord's Day. But most of this is pretty cut and dry, straightforward. Pretty straightforward. All right, let's pray. Father, again, we're grateful to you for your love and your goodness to us, for your providential care of us. Lord, even this day reminds us of that providential care. Even our being here, having thy word before us, that we can consider all tokens of thy providential care for us. Lord, to have Christian friends that we can fellowship and worship with, another evidence of thy care, thy meeting our daily needs. Lord, we need that fellowship. We need these things. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for your provision for us in all these ways and so much more. Lord, so much more that often we don't even think about or realize. So help us this day. Lord, help us. There are benefits in this day. Help us, Lord, you've provided. Help us to be careful to make good use and application of them. So go with us now in our time of fellowship, especially as we come together to worship. Lord, bless our worship. May Christ be lifted up in our midst, and may he be present with us. Lord, again, we ask for the help of the Holy Spirit in our worship, in every aspect of it. Lord, may it be pleasing in thy sight and acceptable to thee. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.